It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
It's 8 days until a potential strike. The Chicago Teachers Union has hosted a press conference at Simeon to address overcrowding. One student shared her story.
I have a class, my eighth period class, I have trigonometry, and we have about 37 students in our class, and that is a shame, because today I needed help, and I couldn't get the help that I needed, because she had to keep going around the classroom, trying to tell them to calm down, or help other students where she couldn't help me, and I understand that might sound selfish, but it's not. I need the education that I want. I'm trying to pass, but I can't do that, because there is only one student against 40 and up students. I mean, one teacher against 40 and up students. That is a shame. And I need that fixed now so I can get the education I want to receive.
5,290 classes in CBS have 35 students or more, and they've got a list of them that have up to 50 students per class. These are individual classes, and certainly not the norm, but class size is something they are making a contract issue. They want a cap on class size.
Gloria Torres talked about one offer that was given to the mayor to address overcrowding.
We have right now a stipulation that a financial award per pupil can be awarded if that's what the school, if that's what the class size panel agrees on. But now we want to implement what they just won in LA and what one of our charter networks just won, which is an automatic amount of money. And we are proposing $5 per child over the limit, automatic to every teacher who's in oversized classrooms.
Wait, what? What?
There's a lot of math there. That $5. Must be a math teacher.
I know. I'm sorry. So a class is overcrowded with 40 children. The new cap is 35 children. If the teacher is offered $5 for everyone over the cap, how much does the teacher make?
Oh, geez.
That's the math problem.
That.
But I just don't understand. $5 for what? For the year?
For the day?
Class? For the day? What does that
people?
Mean? I mean, you know, $5 a day over the school year per teacher, per thing. I mean, that's that. I mean, maybe it's not going to make the teacher rich, but it's going to put when you aggregate that, that's a pretty big number, potentially.
The other issue that's going on here with CTU and the city and the mayor trying to come to some sort of settlement in their negotiations, reach some sort of deal here, is that a brand new demand was brought up in the last 24 hours. Affordable housing. The CTU would like to address the affordable housing issues for their very low-income students and for the 17,000 kids who are homeless within CPS. And the mayor is accusing them of bringing this up at the 11th hour.
What is that? I mean, I don't want to sound insincere here or inhuman, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
It's sort of strange to bring it up at this hour as well, yeah. When it seems as if there are a number of other issues they're nowhere near agreement on, that there is now a new one that's brought up now with just, what, 9 days, 8 days away before they would strike and chaos would break out.
That's a separate issue. That's a human services issue for the city. That's not a... And I get it. It does have impact. I understand.
Of course. It does have impact.
But this is where... I mean, what also has impact is a strike, right? And that's... If you were able to get the cap as a citizen of Chicago and someone who grew up in the city, I did not go through the CPS system, though. You went through the CPS system.
I did. I was there for a strike, one of the longest ones on record. And I remember it was difficult, because parents had to decide where do you go during that time? You have working parents. You have busy parents. What do you do? It wasn't fun. There were recommendations for college that people were trying to get. I remember friends of mine who were just, they weren't able to get them. They didn't have teachers to write them. There were all kinds of things. It's not fun for anybody.
No.
And the students and the parents and the teachers, nobody wants this to happen. I just think you'd like to see them coming closer together at this late juncture, and it doesn't appear that way.
And the improvements in the Chicago public school system, totally across the board, throughout the system, are pretty profound over the last two decades. You know, that before 2000 and after 2000, Chicago public school system is a very different place. And you have some of the best schools in the country, in the Chicago public school system.
No question.
Increasingly so. And it wasn't, you know, it just, you know, they used to always talk about Whitney Young, right? Well, Whitney Young, which was, you know, considered one of the best high schools in the country for the better part of three decades. But there now, it is, you know, you're at a point.
You have Northside Prep, you have Peyton, you have so many schools that parents would love to send their kids to. They're just high-performing, great schools, preparing kids for the future. I went to Lane Tech, also.
You look at the difference
like
at King, at DuSable. Let's go to
Jones.
The other side of the city where people, you know, used to be, you know, we used to go run track at DuSable. And it was a scary place to be in the 1980s. Now, it's considered, you know, people are fighting to get their kids into there, right? And it is a... There's a difference here, and that in part, the teachers made a big difference, but so did the commitment by the city. You got to understand that there has to be a balance here. We want to keep that momentum going because you're not going to Chicago is not going to get better unless its citizens have an ability to qualify for jobs that are going to be coming to Chicago. And raising my property tax is not going to help. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Checking in at
number four.
Sam Wachs says he and his wife were ejected from the Wells Fargo Arena in Philadelphia during an exhibition game between the Philadelphia 76ers. Another institution that I cannot stand. Turns out I think I might hate.
Why do you hate the 76ers?
Because they're from Philadelphia.
Oh, right.
I just, there's not a single
Philadelphia and
team.
Detroit, both on your list?
Yeah. Detroit sucks, but Philadelphia is too many syllables to suck. I have to figure out something else there. Now, part of this deal was the 76ers were taking on the Gwangju Lung Lions. Now, that's a Chinese team, which is why this whole thing got weird. And that's why these preseason games where the Chinese national teams were coming to the United States to take on NBA teams. That's why it's such a big deal that this dude down in Houston, who's the general manager of the Rockets, when he put out the tweet saying he stands with Hong Kong, that's why this whole thing created such a problem.
It did create a problem.
Yes.
A major problem.
So this guy says he brought in several pro-Hong Kong signs and yelled, "Free Hong Kong." He shared his story. Mr. Wachs did with the Sean Green Show here. You're familiar with them. It's on the digital
Green.
Side of the.
And that's where it belongs, kind of, mm-hmm. Right?
Certainly, right? That's true. But Sean Green sat down with Sam Wachs, and here's the story.
You know, I think if you look at why that would lead to an ejection, it's because the NBA they want this to not be an issue. They want to sweep this under the rug. They don't want to talk about it, right? They don't want people to be talking about this. They don't want people to be looking closely at their relationship with China and what that means and, you know, what it means to be in business with China.
Good.
I just think the fans, ejecting these two fans for their little signs, although neon signs, "Free Hong Kong," doesn't that sort of trample their First Amendment rights? What's wrong with them if they said, you know, "Go team" or supported a team specifically? Would they have been kicked out? Is this about First Amendment?
It's "Go team," but I think if you brought in a political sign, if you brought in, like, you know, Trump signs or Biden signs or something else like that, Elizabeth Warren signs, Pete Buttigieg edge signs, I think
that
they might
really
toss
fit
you.
On a sign.
Yeah, I think they would.
You could do the thing where you paint the letters on your stomach.
And all the guys get it,
like a whole row of them. Yeah.
Right. The only problem is, wait, hold on a second. You're the wrong edge. Get over here.
You know, fittingly, the Long Lions are in Washington tonight to take on the Wizards.
Are they?
They are.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, the president weighed in on this whole thing and took a shot at Steve Kerr.
Well, the NBA is a different thing. I mean, I watch this guy, Steve Kerr, and he was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question. He couldn't answer the question. He was shaking. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He didn't know how to answer the question. And he'll talk about the United States very badly. I watched Popovich, sort of the same thing, but he didn't look quite as scared, actually. But they talk badly about the United States, but when it talks about China, they don't want to say anything bad. I thought it was pretty sad, actually.
Of course, Popovich and Steve Kerr have been critical of the president.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you do not have a right to that in the United States. Just letting you know. in case you're wondering. If you're an NBA. It's funny because I thought it was real. We talked about this yesterday. I mean, I don't disagree that Steve Kerr certainly decided not to take his shot about that.
Right. He's not wrong about the hypocritical aspect. But
right.
Then, of course, he dresses it up that he was scared and all that, which we didn't come off that way at all.
No.
But and I like Steve Kerr. I mean, Steve Kerr doesn't shy away from any sort of political controversy or anything like that. But
Steve Kerr, critically important to three NBA championships here in Chicago.
Most importantly, yes.
Yes, that's what we love
him for. A lot of clutch shots from Steve Kerr.
Right. When John Paxson left, I thought, no, there's no way. What are they going to do? They need a guy like that. And then they got Steve Kerr. And you're like, wow.
Are players, Kevin, have you noticed, are players being asked questions about Hong Kong and China after games and things like that?
I'll dig a little deeper, but I haven't seen a ton. And the league as a whole, even outside of Kerr and Popovich, players are pretty open about their thoughts on really everything, and the league never really seems to mind. I haven't seen a ton from players on
this. Why, Leonard, I can't wait to hear what his thoughts are on this. I mean, really, do we care? Do I really care?
No.
All right. May I?
Dennis Rodman. He's going to save the world.
Right. He's offered himself up as the ambassador to China for the NBA. And the president might decide, hey, that's a good idea. I'll make him the ambassador for the United States.
Watch out for this.
We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Lauren, what's happening on the roadways?
Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV Morning News team weekdays 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb responded to the new allegations about the behavior of Matt Lauer, revealed in Ronan Farrow's new book, soon to be released, Catch and Kill.
It is explosive.
He obtained this... Well, this woman, Brooke Nevels, alleges that in Sochi, Russia, during the 2014 Winter Olympics, Lauer raped her in his hotel room.
Truth be told, Savannah and I did a little prayer upstairs just before, just to sort of sort out what we were going to do. And I think it's like you feel like you've known someone for 12 years, and I don't know if you guys have ever felt like that. You know someone, you know them, you feel like you know them inside and out, and then all of a sudden, like, a door opens up, and it's a part of them you didn't know. And we don't know all the facts in all of this, but there are not allegations of an affair. There are allegations of a crime. And I think that's shocking to all of us here who've sat with Matt for many, many years.
Okay, so... I think if you look at the allegations here, this is being portrayed as that Matt Lauer violently raped this woman at Sochi. This was before we jump to a lot of conclusions here, I want to just step back and look at the facts that are also in the book there, which is that they were working together. The whole team was getting drunk in a bar one night. He invited her up to his hotel room. She went up to the hotel room. They started to have what is being described as a consensual sex act, and then he wanted to turn it. He wanted to add to the sex act an act that she did not want. She felt as though at that point she had been assaulted. They get back to New York, and they continued to have a relationship in New York. She says that that relationship was transactional. I'm not sure what that means. But I think
she also said she was beyond ability to consent because she had clearly had a lot of drinks with the NBC team in the bar. They're all staying in the same hotel, that she did say no, and she resisted when he tried to move things forward beyond where she wanted to go, and that he proceeded to take advantage of her. Anyway, that's her story.
Right.
He's pushed back on it. I think the other thing that Ronan Farrow brings up today, aside from the sexual assault and here criminal sexual activity alleged against Mr. Lauer, Matt Lauer, is this issue that he says Ronan Farrow, remember, was then an NBC news correspondent about to break this huge scandal about Harvey Weinstein that has launched the Me Too movement and changed everything. He says that he was fired, and he said that Harvey Weinstein brought manila folders about the allegations, their research on Matt Lauer, as a way to try to kill the Weinstein story to NBC. Now, NBC said that's not true, but this is part of Ronan Farrow's reporting.
Wow. Gets
it's
wilder
pretty
and wilder.
Explosive.
All right. Checking in at
number 2.
If you don't stay up late, you might have missed this. Chance the Rapper on James Corden's Carpool Karaoke. Let's just put it this way. Corden could keep up.
Do you mind if we listen to some music?
Yeah, let's go. Let's see what's on the radio.
If you blink, you might miss it. You gotta click it and take it. You gotta go get it before it's gone.
Hang on. Start again. Tell me what the lyrics are.
It's really fast. It's, if you blink, you might miss it. You've got to click it or tick it. You've got to go get the getting before it's gone.
Let's try again.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Come on.
5, 6, 7, 8. If you blink, you might miss it. You gotta click it or tick it. You gotta go get the getting before it's gone. And you're pretty
easy. Can you do that?
I don't think I can. No, not going to happen. And finally,
number one.
Andrew Acheson and Sharon Cook from Liverpool, England, nearly had to cancel their wedding. They were traveling to Las Vegas, and that Thomas Cook travel agency collapsed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a problem. But Caesar's Palace found out about this. So what they did is they figured out a way to organize the wedding for them anyway, to get them there. They got to Delta Airlines and said, hey, Delta, let's work this thing out. And so they got there and their wedding guests got there. And then once in Las Vegas, there was a pretty big surprise waiting for them.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Rod Stewart showed up to sing at their wedding.
Let's do this, Robin. I wish you all the luck in the world. Come stand next to me, how I told you, Lily, that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above? You fill my heart with gladness, take away all my sadness, ease my trouble, that's what you do.
Oh, boy.
Rod Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
He showed up.
Oh, yeah. It's like Jackson Maine showing up and singing at the end.
That is so sweet. Oh, here they thought their whole wedding was ruined.
And at the end of the day, we should give thanks and pray to one.
All right. Wow.
He still has a great hair, too. Rod.
I know. Is that still his hair?
It's him. He wouldn't look right without it.
I know, but is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
He has to have it.
If it's his or if it's fair, you know, fake hair.
If it's like the restoration stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
It looks good.
But that is very, very cool.
Isn't it? It's so sweet.
Oh. He shouldn't offer any matrimonial advice, though.
You don't think it'd be good? Not appropriate.
That'd be my guess.
I'm here.
Ask him,
all right,
friend.
So gotcha, gent.
Right. It's like sort of asking, you know, like me or like Larry King about it. I know you'll find this hard to believe, but he did this, and then he does have a residency in Las Vegas now.
So just in case did not know that.
All right, let's close this up.
The top five at five.